You might think about the most calm, collected person you know. Maybe they're a spiritual leader, maybe they're a mentor, maybe an older relative. And sometimes you wonder, how the heck do they do it? And our next guests have some skills you can practice to improve your own mental well-being and help you maybe feel more fulfilled in your life. Larry Mueller here, and our next guests have written a wonderful book. It's titled Born to Flourish: How New Science and Ancient Wisdom Reveal a Simple Path to Thriving. And authors are with us. One of them, Richard Davidson, is the William James and Vilas Research Professor of Psychology and Psychiatry at UW-Madison, also director of the Center for Healthy Minds, and he is the founder of the nonprofit Human. And Richard, welcome. Thanks for joining in today.
Thanks so much, Larry. Happy to be here.
With us as well, Cortland Dahl is a contemplative scientist at the UW-Madison Center for Healthy Minds. He's chief contemplative officer for Human. And Cort, thank you for joining in as well. Appreciate it very much.
It's great to be here. Thank you.
As we talk with them, I want to hear from you. What do you do to ease your anxiety or get you through a hard time? Give a call. The number is 800-642-1234, or you could email us to talk@wpr.org. Clara Neipert and I were talking. Clara, of course, is the producer for the show, and she read the book, and I read the book, and we were saying, man, what a great book. And I'm sorry, we only have a half hour to talk about it. So I'm hoping down the road you guys can come back and be with us again to talk some more. But let's get right into it. Let's start with flourish, the word flourish, which is used many hundreds of times, I think, in the course of this book. And of course, again, the title, the main title, Born to Flourish. Let's talk about that word from the start. What does it mean to actually flourish, Richard?
Well, what it means to flourish in the framework we introduce in the book is to be fully present, to be connected to those around you and to your context and environment, to have insight into the narrative that we all carry around in our mind and understand how our beliefs and expectations color our world, and to show up with a strong sense of purpose. So that's kind of the big definition. Another way of thinking about flourishing is when we're just operating on all our cylinders and we are fundamentally okay. We know that anything can come down the pike, so to speak, and we're going to be fine. That's another more colloquial way of thinking about flourishing.
And, you know, and right early on in the book, you say it's different from happy, being happy, you not being happy all the time, Cort.
Absolutely. Absolutely. So, if you experience a tragic loss, it would be inappropriate to be happy. Sadness is something that is a natural part of the human repertoire, as is many other emotions. And so it's not about being happy, but it really is about being fundamentally okay.
Yeah. And we're seeing, with rising levels of stress and mental unwellness in people, what's holding us back, Cortland, from flourishing?
Well, there's so much in our environment these days that is not supportive of our well-being. I mean, just to start, the fact that we're so plugged in every moment of our day. I mean, so many of us end the day with our phones in our hands, or start the day picking up our phones and scrolling through our news feeds or checking messages. And we're just plugged in a way that we historically weren't as a species. We're not really built for this flood of information. and the information we're consuming is not always all that great for our mental health and our well-being. It's certainly not good for our emotional balance. It's provoking anxiety. It's causing us to be distracted and scattered. It's making us feel divided from one another. I mean, there's just all these symptoms, but I think it in many ways goes back to the fact that we're just have very little space in our lives for being and for connecting. And we're just flooded with information all day, every day.
Yeah. How did you two meet each other? Maybe it's an interesting story, I think, and begin studying this whole business of flourishing.
You want to tell the story, Corey?
Yeah, sure. Yeah, we had a somewhat serendipitous meeting. It was actually right on the heels of the financial crisis back in, I think it was 2008, if memory serves. And we were at a conference on compassion in economics and economic systems in Zurich, Switzerland, of all places. And we had we knew a lot of people in common. We were kind of in the same orbit, so to speak. And we met, and it was just like meeting old friends. I think we both sensed that we had some important work to do together and had an immediate connection. And we certainly have a lot of shared interests. I mean, obviously, this topic of flourishing, I think especially the topic of how you can cultivate the inner qualities that lead to flourishing, which, of course, is what the book is about. And I had spent almost a decade living in Tibetan refugee settlements in Nepal and India, kind of studying the mind and consciousness from a more meditative point of view. And Richie, of course, is one of the world's leading neuroscientists and had been studying for decades from a more scientific point of view. But we had this passion, this personal passion as well. And I think that's what we really connected around.
Yeah. And the Center for Healthy Minds at UW-Madison, how'd that come to be?
It came to be really as an organic evolution of the work that we were doing. I first met the Dalai Lama in 1992. And in that meeting, he challenged me and asked why we couldn't use the same tools of modern neuroscience that we were using to study depression and anxiety and stress and apply those tools to the study of qualities like kindness and like compassion. And I didn't have a good answer for him, but it was the beginning of a wake-up call for us. And we began to focus on those topics, and it became more and more of a focus of what we were doing until it literally defined what we were doing. And so the mission of our center, as we state it publicly, is to cultivate well-being and relieve suffering through a scientific understanding of the mind. And the center was formed in 2009. The Dalai Lama came out to Madison to inaugurate our center a few months later in 2010, and we've been operating ever since, and it's been a very vibrant period.
Well, it has indeed, and you have so many great experiences, life experiences with the Dalai Lama and with so many others, of course, throughout the book that really serve to, they add so much to the book itself. And I really appreciated those stories. And maybe, we have, maybe another 15 or so minutes that we can talk about the book. And I wonder, there are four skills, basic skills, you say that we need to learn in order to flourish. And the first skill set is awareness. And I really found that fascinating because I was practicing as I was reading your book. You were giving some instructions. And it was quite a revelation for me to take in some of those early comments. But one monk you talked to called awareness the foundation of everything. Why, you know, Cortland, do you want to talk about that?
Sure, sure. Yeah, in many meditative traditions, it really is the most foundational piece of training the mind. And that's for a very specific reason. And that is that if you don't know what's going on in your own mind in any given moment, how can you possibly cultivate the very best qualities that are there in your mind or work with the more challenging moments? And the reality is most of us are quite oblivious, actually, to our own mental and emotional states. In fact, one of the studies that we cite all the time shows that the average person is not paying attention to what's happening in the present moment almost half of their waking lives. It's 47% is the exact number. So just think about that. That means half the time you're with the people you love, half the time that you're doing any work or doing the things that are important for you or just going about your day, you're not paying attention to what's going on, much less to what's going on in your own mind. And that's only half the story. The other half of the story is not only are we distracted and we're in this world that is exacerbating this tendency towards distraction, but we're also less happy. We're less content when we're distracted. So it gets in the way of our relationships. It gets in the way of our work. It gets in the way of our ability to manage our own thoughts and emotions. So pretty much on every level, the world is a better place and our experience is more grounded when we're tuned in and attentive to what's happening, and we struggle when we're scattered and distracted. It's that simple. So it's really the basis for everything we talk about in the book and really the basis for cultivating a truly healthy mind and a mind that has the capacity to flourish.
Yeah. So, and you give some practices or ways that we can practice to become aware. And maybe, Richie, you can talk a bit more about awareness. By what do you really mean by awareness?
Awareness is something that every human being has, and it refers to the knowing quality of our mind. And so we are aware that we hear, we know that we're hearing. And there's also another related piece that is worth calling out explicitly, and that is a quality that scientists call meta-awareness, which is the recognition that we're knowing. Meta-awareness is the capacity to know what our minds are actually doing. And Court mentioned just before that in order for us to transform our mind, we have to know what our mind is doing. And so this quality of meta-awareness is so vitally important. If we don't know what is happening in our mind, then our capacity to transform our mind is really going to be compromised. And so awareness and its associated qualities like meta-awareness and self-awareness are really essential for all other forms of human transformation, which is why in our framework we put awareness first.
And how do you put it into practice, awareness? I mean,
well, you can do it in the most simple of ways. And it's so simple that people don't recognize it. But for example, right now, we can become aware of sound and just be aware of whatever background sounds there may be in our environment. And the moment we do that, we're shifting from a mode of doing to a mode of simply being. And we also, in using sound as a way to support our awareness, we become aware of awareness itself. Becoming aware of sound or becoming aware of things that we see, becoming aware of things that we may feel, we can sense the quality of awareness itself, which is, again, something that we just take for granted all the time. And if we can step back, shift from this mode of doing to one of being, and relish in this wonderful elixir of awareness, it really is something that is intrinsically regulating and can help us enormously.
And one of the, if you don't mind my jumping in real quick, one of the beauties of what Richie just talked about is that it kind of makes you immune to boredom. I started meditating back in the early 90s when I was a college student, and I was super kind of high strung, high activity. I was the kid who could never sit still. And I learned to meditate, which is how I started to learn these skills and explore this territory. And I realized the mind is just a fascinating thing to explore. Even the experience of boredom, you know, being stuck in traffic or sitting in class back in those days, or all these things that normally we resist. And of course, these days we all have our phones in our hands, so we have this little escape hatch that we can pull. But actually, you start paying attention to the mind, it's quite fascinating. And you really become kind of immune to boredom, because boredom strangely becomes interesting. So all these things you resist in life, it's as though they become the training ground to get in touch with these qualities.
Cortland Dahl and Richard Davidson, their book is Born to Flourish. And you, my friends, are listening to WPR News. I'm Larry Mueller. Thanks for joining in today. Tomorrow on the show, we focus on personal finance with our expert. Right now, we're talking with Cortland Dahl and Richard Davidson about their book. It's titled Born to Flourish, How New Science and Ancient Wisdom Reveal a Simple Path to Thriving. Tim in Madison has something. Let's go there. Tim, hi. Thank you for calling.
Hey, Larry. Frequent caller. Just had a comment about the approach the guests are taking, and you and I are, you know, the retirement age. I think it's appropriate that we bring up words like dwindle and wane, maybe even, God help us, wilt, you know? So my point is that whole, it always seems to be upward, 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 upward. But, you know, a lot of our lives are not so upward, upward. So I would just like your comment, especially, Larry, since you're about to retire and you're going to face this crap that I faced.
All right. I won't comment, but I will let our guests comment. Richie, do you want to comment on that?
Well, this path of flourishing that we're talking about is really fundamentally about embracing change that is inevitable. One of the important pillars of this work is the recognition that things are constantly changing. Impermanence is the rule and not the exception. And it is also about harnessing whatever opportunities we have. So as long as we're alive, we have the capacity for awareness, connection, insight, and purpose. And those may change over the course of our lives. So for example, our purpose when we're young adults and sort of starting out in our career may be very different than our purpose later in life. But being able to connect to that sense of purpose, and so it might be toward the end of life, simply connecting with loved ones and one's family being with them, imparting whatever insights and wisdom we may have. Those are opportunities for flourishing. And so the opportunities for flourishing are present throughout life. The nature of those opportunities will change over the course of different periods of life. But we know that we can even flourish as we're dying. And so we've been doing some work with dying yogis in India who are said to be flourishing even in the course of dying. And so it's really possible to embody these qualities at every stage of life.
I want to make sure I mention the app that you have, just to get that in, because I actually, after reading your book, I thought, okay, I've got to get your app. So I signed up for the app that you have, Healthy Minds, In Your Healthy Minds program by Human, on the website. And just maybe briefly talk about that app and how it can be used.
So this is a mobile app that Richie and I developed together with the help of many others. It's completely freely available. It's powered by generosity and donations, so there's no paywall. You can use it completely free. We did it initially for our research, not expecting it was going to get used nearly as widely, but I think it's now been downloaded well more than a million times. It was mentioned by one of the top meditation apps by New York Times and a bunch of other publications. So we now have hundreds of thousands of people who have used it and are actively using it. And it's allowed us to gain insight into some really important scientific questions. But from a more practical point of view, it's really just a step-by-step, simple way to learn these skills. For some people, they might practice them more in a meditative way where you sit in more formal meditation. But you can also use these skills doing what we call active meditation. So you never actually sit down. You can do it while you're commuting to work, walking your dog, doing the dishes. But it's learning these simple skills that make a huge difference in daily life. And we've now done lots of research collaborating with other universities and research groups, and the data has been incredibly inspiring and heartening, showing the difference it can make in people's lives.
Yeah, and the book does such a nice job of laying this all out. Richie mentioned, sort of almost in passing, the four kind of pillars, which are, and we've talked about awareness and connection is one, and insight is one, and purpose is the fourth. And these are, as you say, these are skills that require a bit of practice, but they can be done kind of throughout the day. You can practice these skills, and you need to kind of practice to ingrain them in your mind, correct?
Yeah, so we think of these as skills, and we know that when we think about other skills, for example, learning to play a musical instrument or learning to do certain kinds of sports, in order to get better at those skills, we need to practice. So you can't learn to play tennis or to play golf or to swim by reading a book or taking or going to lectures. We know that intuitively. We know that through our own experience. And similarly, in order to cultivate these skills of flourishing, we also need to practice. So this is really one of the most fundamental insights about flourishing, that flourishing is best regarded as a skill. And one of the things that research with our app has taught us is that it's easier than you think.
Yeah.
That actually, just as you're saying, Larry, you can practice these skills as you're going about your daily life, and you don't even need to take any extra time to formally meditate. Our research shows that if you intentionally deploy your mind and actively practice while you're engaged in other activities of daily living, like commuting, you see benefit which is comparable to the benefit you see if you're just formally meditating. And so that's great news.
Well, And it's I'm hoping that you guys will come back and be with us when you have more when we have more time for you. I think an hour would be much better than a half hour. Thank you both very much, Richie Court. It's been my pleasure. And this book was a revelation for me. And we have a link to the app on and your book on our website at talk@wpr.org/Larry. Thank you both very much, and we will get them back. Cortland Dahl and Richard Davidson, their book, Born to Flourish, How New Science and Ancient Wisdom Reveal a Simple Path to Thriving. I'm Larry Mueller for WPR News.